Disrupt the norm. Everybody say, disrupt the norm. This is an important subject, especially for where you are, for where our nation is, and where the church is. Disrupt the norm. I don't know about you, but anytime you get stuck in a rut, it's time to come out of that rut. Quit complaining about where you are and drive your life out of the rut. I have no time for anyone that come to me to tell me how bad they are off. I'm really in a bad shape. Well, why are you staying there? I have no choice. You have a choice. In Christ Jesus, you have a choice. Turn to somebody and say, you have a choice. In this subject of disrupting the norm, a subtopic or title would be break the cycle. Break the cycle. I want to take you to Acts the 17th chapter for a little scriptural reference that the Lord showed me. And there was Paul and Silas was in Thessalonica, and they were ministering the gospel. Y'all know Brother Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Here they are, and they're preaching the gospel, but as it always is, there's somebody that's jealous. Somebody that won't like what you're doing. Sometimes when you start to disrupt the norm, somebody's going to get, excuse the expression, they're going to get ticked off. And sometimes you'll go under attack. Attack is not a bad thing, because attack can set you up for your victory. But in Acts the 17th chapter, verses 5 and 6, you're going to find Paul and Silas. They've done all this. They're staying at a man's house called Jason. I'm going to take you to when the Jews started doing their thing that were jealous. But the Jews which believed not, they didn't believe in the message of Jesus Christ. The Jews which believed not moved with envy, looked unto them, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, if you study that out, the lewd fellows of baser sort, I don't want to offend any of our attorneys in here, but that's exactly what they were talking. They were talking about unscrupulous attorneys. So they got together with some unscrupulous attorneys, somebody that would help them with this message of destroying Paul and Silas, and gathered a company, a gang, and set all the city on uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people, wanted Paul and Silas. And when they found them, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Now watch this. Mark this down. These that have turned the world upside down. These are the ones that have turned the world upside down. They're coming to us. These disciples, Paul and Silas, disrupted, if you want to know what happened, they disrupted the religious and cultural norm of that time. How? Bringing the gospel and shaking the world for Christ. They disrupted the norm. They shook the world. Life, as I looked at it yesterday morning early, and understanding where we're headed, life is a learning process. How many people know life is a learning process? You go through it day by day, step by step. There's things you learn every day. If you stop learning, you're dying. Life is a learning process. You either learn to stay still because you don't want to rock the boat. I'm going to stay still because I don't want to rock the boat. Or you learn to seize the moment and go forward. I don't know about you, but I'd rather seize the moment and go forward than just sit still until I die. Why sit here till we die? My God, what a message. That's what they said outside the walls. The men sitting with leprosy, they said, why do we sit here till we die? Mark this down. We can either disrupt the norm. We can either disrupt the norm, or the norm will disrupt you. Did you catch that? You can disrupt the norm, or the norm will disrupt you. What do you mean? It'll stunt your growth. It'll stop you from going forward. Give me an illustration, Bishop. I'd be happy to. We can't be like the hamster on a wheel running round and round and going nowhere. And most people live their lives like a hamster. They don't want to disrupt the norm. They're on the wheel of life and they're running. If you ever watch the hamster run on the wheel, they wear themselves out and they go nowhere. God didn't call you to get on a wheel and run. He called you to be on the path of life and go forward. They're running, going nowhere. Have you ever felt tired? I'm asking you a question now. Have you ever felt tired, really tired, but you've accomplished little? Well, ask yourself, what wheel are you on? I say maybe it's time to break the cycle. Maybe it's time to take a step back and see where you are. Maybe it's time to say, you know what has become normal? I need to revisit. I need to look at it again. I say it's time to get off the wheel and go somewhere. Turn to somebody and say, you got to get off the wheel. So I want you to grasp something here. I'm not going to speak a long time today because I'm going to be praying for you. Of course, I never speak a long, long time. I want you to truly grasp this moment and this statement. When I speak about the norm, I'm not just talking about something good or comfortable. Your norm could very well be a negative cycle, a place of struggle, or a situation that's holding you back. But whether your norm is a positive or negative, mark that down, whether your norm is a positive or negative, one thing remains the same. It's time to break free from it. It's time to break free from it because growth, breakthrough, and transformation begin when you dare to disrupt the norm and step into something greater. You have to dare. You have to hear, you live in a world where the status quo feels comfortable and familiar. It's the status quo. It's what everybody's doing. It's what Bill's doing, Bob's doing, Butch is doing, Joyce is doing, Lily's doing. What they're doing, I want to do because it just seems comfortable. It's normal. That's the status quo. We work a few years, we retire, and then we die. Status quo. Have you ever thought about you could work a few years and retire and refire and do something good with your life? See, we think because it's been that way, it's going to have to be that way. Because Papa died at 65, I'm almost there, so it's almost my time. Have you ever thought it might not be your time? It may have been his time, but it's not your time. My family's never been blessed. Have you ever thought about, you say, so I'll never be blessed, I'll never go nowhere? Daddy was a drug addict, Mama was an alcoholic, so I'm going to be a drug addict and alcoholic. Have you ever thought you may need to get off that hamster wheel and realize that God's got something better for you? Listen, I'm a supreme optimist when it comes to God. Yes, I do get down. Yes, I do get disturbed at times. But I pick myself up and say, wait a minute, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world, and that which is coming after me, God's going to take care of. Amen? We naturally, as human beings, I know people that will not change. They will not disrupt anything. We naturally then, because of who we are and the way we move and the way we think, we naturally gravitate toward the same stores. I'm only going to shop at Publix. I'm only going to shop at Kroger. I'm only going to go to Walmart. But we gravitate to the same stores. What you women, stores you like, you'll go, I'm going to go to, I can't even name your stores. I don't know what women like. But that's the store I'm going to because you know why? They've always got the best deals. Well, you don't know. There might be another store that's got better deals. Amen. Well, I'm only going to buy that purse because that purse is the best. Well, what about that one over there might be better. Are y'all following me? It's the familiar. The same store. Matter of fact, the same music. I don't listen to the same music I did back when I was a teenager. I really do. But we gravitate toward that music because it's familiar. It makes us feel good. Melancholy. Matter of fact, I mentioned this last week, the same vacation spots. You're going to go there because you're comfortable with it and you know everything about it. That's the problem. You know everything about it and you're having no more excitement. Does anybody understand when something's new, it's called, you're going to go into something new, it's called exploration? The problem we're having is nobody wants to explore anymore. We want to know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And by God, it better be the way I think. I'm not going to be happy. But if you're going to be an explorer, that means you're going into uncharted territory. I'll mention that in a minute. Same music, same vacation spots, the same routines. Go to bed at 8:30. Get up at 4:30. That's just what I do. It's your routine. But sometimes, well, let me just say this. If you're going to grow, say, I want to grow. But true growth and greatness lie beyond the ordinary. True greatness and growth lie beyond the ordinary. When you disrupt the norm, we open ourselves to new opportunities, fresh perspectives, and the extraordinary plans God has for us. That's what it does. I'm going to prove that in a minute. How does that happen? When you enter into the glory of God, the norm, the things that you are familiar with will suddenly and exponentially change. It'll just change radically. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it'll change. Where you weren't excited, you'll be excited. When you felt depressed, you'll be now pressed. Where you felt you were going nowhere, you'll start going somewhere. That's walking into and being in the presence of God. Why? And it'll exponentially change. I mean, it'll just broaden your horizon. How? When you step outside yourself. See, we get so inside ourselves, we forget some things. When you step outside yourself and into His presence, into that which you have experienced, that which you've experienced will change forever. When you step into His presence. So no matter what you've gone through, it will change forever. But how many people know that when this change occurs, it may be uncomfortable? You may not even understand it. It may be uncomfortable for a moment. But why? Because it's not familiar. I'm in uncharted territory. How many of you like to explore? Now, how many people just lied? Exploration, man, that's why I used to ride my motorcycles to explore. It was fun. When you quit exploring, got this now. Ooh. When you stop exploring, you stop discovering. When you stop exploring, you stop discovering. And I think we need to be set to discover. When you explore the Word of God, you'll never get anything out of the Word of God until you explore the Word of God, and then there's revelation and declaration. It's all there. It may be uncomfortable. Probably will be uncomfortable, but it will be life-changing. And I say, and I'm saying to you today, in reference to personally and corporately, it's time to disrupt the norm. It's time to change what we've known and to go forward. It's time to do some things we've not done before and we've not even thought about it. It wasn't even in our thinking. How many people understand that God sometimes, He takes us into a places where we wonder what in the world is going on, but then you find out that God knows exactly what He's doing. I want you to take a look at this. This may not sound spiritual to you, but everything in life is marked by the Spirit. Do you believe that? If God is a Spirit and God created the heavens and earth, then everything you see and walking in is because of the Spirit. I want you to take a look at this. How many people remember the Wright brothers? Orville and Wilbur Wright. Not very impressive, but they disrupted the norm, and they disrupted it for mankind by achieving the first controlled power flight on December the 17th, 1903. Doesn't sound like much, does it now? We think, nothing to it. Well, it was something to it then, because their breakthrough was it revolutionized transportation. Mark this down. It revolutionized transportation, warfare, commerce, and global connectivity. The Wright brothers. But how did they disrupt the norm? They defied the limits of human flight. They defied the limits of human flight. They defied it. Here's what this came to me early this morning. Not only that, they defied this. Something we face every day. They defied, Butch, it can't be done. You know how many times people told me it can't be done? And I said, see, watch. You lose everything, watch. It can be done. I took the T off of your can't. They defied it. Before the Wright brothers, the idea of human flight, think about this. Put yourself in their place. How they had to disrupt everything that was going around them. Human flight was considered impossible or purely theoretical. What did people believe? People believed that heavier-than-air air machines could not sustain flight. And if you've ever gone to the airport and looked at those huge machines, you think, how in the world can they fly? It's still it's a marvel to me. It's a marvel. The Wright brothers challenged this norm through relentless experimentation, which means they had to disrupt something. Through experimentation and engineering, let's go back to the uncharted territories. The only way they could get this discovery is to step into uncharted territories. They had to decide, I will explore so we can, say it with me, discover. We will explore so we can discover. You know, so why some people never walk in faith? Because they don't explore faith and they never discover how faith works. They never discover it. I have been sick unto death and said, God, I need you, and Him show up. I have been in an emergency room and me laying there in pain I've never felt before. Never. But I had a peace, Butch. I had a peace that God was with me. And no matter what, if I closed my eyes for the last time, I knew I'd step into His glory. I knew it. I sensed it. It's like now in my life, it's like this is the way it's always been and this is the way it shall remain. And I'm telling you that's not true. I can't tell you it'll always be the same and it shall always remain the same, because God's about to take some of us and we're about to step into uncharted territories. Now I can't tell you how it's going to happen and what's going to happen and who's going to be involved, but I can tell you it's uncharted, which says to me, Ollie, that God's involved. I'm going to show you that in a moment, if you'll give me time. If Valerie will let me. Okay, thank you. I'm just trying to teach something here to you. Don't give up because you say it can't be done. It's uncharted territories. Nobody's going to understand. I'm going to tell you, when the Wright brothers started designing that machine to fly, there was a lot of people standing around saying, you'll never get her off the ground. And when it got off the ground, they said, you'll never get her down. But because of their uncharted territories, they paved the way. Watch this. They paved the way through space exploration, commercial aviation, and modern aerospace technology, all because of the Wright brothers. Why? They disrupted the norm. So that means every plane and spacecraft today can trace their roots back to the disruption of a norm. Do you see that? If not, we'd still be trying to get across country on mules. An ox. I would say something else here, but it'd probably disrupt the norm. All because they disrupted the norm. How many of you in here today in your business can disrupt the norm? Jimmy Gross disrupted the norm one day. He came to me and said, I'm stopping a business. I'm not going to work for a major international company where he had risen to the top. And I can mention other names. Randy Harris, we talked same way. He said, I'm going to step down from this international company. Not real sure what I'm going to do, but I think I'm going to start my own consulting firm. It wasn't easy. He stepped into uncharted territory. But one day on this backstage where he said to me, I think I'm going to just give up the idea. I said, don't do it. God's about to move. How long did it take for God to move, Jimmy? He moved. But he stepped into uncharted territory and he disrupted the norm. Randy Harris did the same thing when Floyd was going through an issue. He came to me and I said, you know, and I think you're doing better than you've ever done before. You're happy. Are y'all catching some of this? God's not happy if you're not disrupting something. Paul and Silas disrupted and changed the world. I personally believe, if you'll accept this, I personally believe that the Spirit of the Lord was involved with Orville and Wilbur Wright. I believe that with all my heart. For every good gift comes down from the Father. That's what the Bible says. I believe he was involved in it. Why? So mankind could be blessed. And so mankind could advance. God wants mankind to advance. Oh, the Wright brothers. It was a moment in history that shaped the world in ways far beyond what they could have imagined. And they went beyond, it can't be done. Nobody's ever done that before. Bishop, it just won't work. Curse God and die. That's what Job's wife said. It can't be done. You're dying. You're filled with boils. Everything has been taken away from you, Job. I don't have time to preach the sermon. But everything's been taken away from you, Job. His own wife saying, curse God and die. Die. But Job was stepping into uncharted territories. It was called walking by faith and not by sight. Then there came a little old man. His name was Noah. And God gave him a blueprint for an ark. Why did he need a blueprint for an ark when they'd never seen a flood? They'd never seen water. The earth was covered with a mist, a thick mist which watered everything. But there was no such thing as floods. There was no such thing as, well, let me read this to you. The earth has never been covered with water. So they knew. Genesis 6:14. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Sounds easy, but they had to disrupt the norm. Watch this. This is how you'll build it. This was no canoe. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, 4.5 stories high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. I'm reading from the NIV. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. This is important what I'm reading you. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Mark this next down. Verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons and your wives with you. You'll all be saved. So you got to mark down what I just said. I'm going to establish a covenant with you. A true covenant with God when we dare to break free from the norm. If you want to be in covenant, you break free from the norm. Noah had to break free from the norm. He had to break free from his social standing and from people saying, you can't do it. What in the world are you doing? We think you're crazy, Noah. But he kept building. He disrupted the norm. Because of that, his family was saved. So a true covenant starts when you step outside yourself and dare to break free from the norm. God himself, if you want some definition, God himself is an eternal spirit who exists beyond the boundaries of the ordinary. He exists beyond the boundaries of the ordinary. When you say something's not normal, understand God's not normal. And you don't want him to be normal. You want him to be supernatural. What do you mean by this, Bishop? He's an eternal spirit, no boundaries. He's beyond the boundaries of the ordinary. He's not confined by human limitations or expectations. He's not confined by what you think. God has no limitations. But here's the key. As sons and daughters of God, we are called to rise beyond complacency, challenge the status quo, and step boldly into the greatness he has destined for us. You have to step into it. It reminded me this morning of a show I used to watch that most of you have watched, Star Trek. Go boldly where no man has. Say it. That's called exploration. If they'd gone there before, there would be no exploration. And they couldn't make that statement, go boldly, step into, go where no man has gone before. What if they decided not to go there? What if we never said we're going to go into space or the moon? Now we've got rovers on Mars taking pictures. Oh, Orville and Wilbur, they did a job, didn't they? There's only when we disrupt the norm by walking that way, living that way, we fully walk in his power. We walk in his purpose and the promises of God. But when we do this, as in everything, we need wisdom to go beyond. Wisdom to disrupt the norm. But you know, wisdom without understanding is very, very, can be damaging. When people seek wisdom and apply faith and disrupt the norm, they can be instruments for something far greater than themselves. But wisdom. Proverbs 8:12, King James Version. I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I've never read that verse like that before. He's going to give me witty inventions? My God. What are you saying? Well, wisdom is not reckless or impulsive. It is paired with prudence, meaning, Floyd, careful thought, discretion, and good judgment. It's married to it. It's part of it. The phrase witty inventions refers to creative insight, strategic plans, and innovative solutions, all in that verse. But you have to disrupt the norm and walk in that wisdom and have understanding, which is teaching. You have to understand who you are, what you are, and what your own personal limitations are. Now, you have limitations, but God has none. You just have to match yours up with God. You have to pair up with God. I'm almost through. There's a lesson for us in Paul and Silas. There's a lesson for us in the Wright brothers. If you'll hear it today, think, well, I wish you'd have read more scripture and I'd be holy. No, you ain't going to be holy. You really aren't. You could read the whole Bible and some of us would never be more holy than we are now. Because it's not reading the Bible that gets you anywhere. Oh boy, here we go, Goy. It's not reading the Bible, it's exploring the Bible. It's living what the Word says. Have I always lived the Word? No. But I desperately seek to live it. There's been some dark times in my life, Butch. I got to be honest with you. I went some dark times. I almost lost myself. And I'll just be honest with you, not in anything recent, but around 40 years ago, I almost lost myself. You say, but Bishop, you're only 35 years old. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's how tough it's been. But I almost lost myself. Nobody on the outside could see it, but I could see it and feel it. And I stepped into uncharted territories. I really didn't want to be who I was. I'd have been real happy just with a leather jacket and a motorcycle and traveling the world. But that's not what I was called to do. But because I dared to disrupt the norm, you're sitting here today. But because I dared to disrupt the norm, you may be sitting somewhere else. You never know. God has a plan. God has a plan. So Paul and Silas, the Wright brothers, they challenge us to explore our limitations, press our limitations, think differently, and pursue the impossible. True progress happens when we dare to disrupt the norm. Now I'm going to give you the final thought. Failure isn't birth. This came to me early this morning. Failure isn't birth from what is visible. It stems from what remains unseen. It's what you're not seeing that causes you to fail. And a lot of times it's just that faith you're missing. Faith is difficult. Anybody tells you having faith is easy, look them in the face and slap them. Faith is easy. That's easy for you to say, but harder to walk out. I'm just being honest with you. Some pastors won't be. Some teachers won't be. They won't be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing about doing what we do for the Lord and living for the Lord is easy. It's not easy. It's wonderful, great feeling, powerful experience, but ask Christian and Daniel. Last few weeks, has it been easy? Valerie, has it been easy? Has it been? No. Ask Butch, has it been easy? No. But that's where faith steps in. And you say, you know, but they said in the same scriptures, in the same book where it said, curse God and die, scripture says, he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Are y'all with me? That's where faith is. So failure isn't birthed from what is visible. Now, I'm talking in the spiritual realm here, too. It stems from what remains unseen because you won't see it. It's not the obstacles, I'll clear it up. It's not the obstacles in front of you that defeat you, but the opportunities, the wisdom, and revelations you fail to perceive. Now I gave you clarity. You want me to say it again? It's the opportunities, the wisdom, and revelations you fail to perceive. True failure is not just in falling short, but in never recognizing the greater vision beyond your current circumstances. There's a greater vision. You may not see it now, but it's there.